Thank you for joining me on the Boise Art Scene Podcast. I'm Morgan McCullum, here with Jesse Blake Rundle, here to talk a little bit about your upcoming Treefort performance and what you've got going on in general with your work.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit about the music that you are working on.
Yeah, so I have a songwriting project under my own name, and I write sort of indie folk, indie rock songs, and released a couple albums and a couple EPs, and currently working on a big project that's almost done, like a new album. And so that's going to be coming out at the end of the summer. And I know we're in this Commonwealth space, which is the Alexa Rose participants. And I also got an Alexa Rose grant for this album. So that's part of what made it possible. So.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
When did you apply for that? A little while back?
Yeah, a little while back. That would have been, I guess, 2023, I think I applied. Because I submitted my report 1st of October last year.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Before we were recording, you told me a little bit about you're working with a company out of Portland.
Yeah. So I've been working with Lizzie Ellison out of Portland, and she was in this band called Radiation City and has her own songwriting project under her own name, and then a Cardioid project. She's just this amazing artist and one of my heroes, and she's become a dear friend. And with the Alexa Rose money, I was able to hire her to help with the production on the album. So I got to work with her over the course of a year and just show her demos and drafts and get her feedback on everything from lyrics to production decisions to track order and everything else. And then I was also able to pay her as a session musician to come out here to Boise and track some background vocals and bass and a couple other things. Just had a great time in the studio. And then so Lizzie runs this record label out of Portland called Doe Records. And it's this really cool story. She and her husband started it in the last couple of years. And they're funding it with grants and also with a bakery business that they run out of their house. So she's an incredible chef. And so they make these baked goods and sell them and run them around the town and in Portland and share them with people. And they have a subscription model for their business. It's really just this kind of co-op arts community thing in Portland with just incredible people out there. So I'm really happy to be a part. And just talking to her this morning, actually, about kind of the release plan and the plan, her plans for the label this year. And it's just really exciting to be a part of it. So.
Oh, that's super awesome.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about Treefort, what you're doing, where you're going to be performing, when.
Yeah. So Treefort, we're going to play on Thursday at 5 p.m. at Payette Brewing. I've got a band. So I've got a four-piece band. We've got a drummer, a second guitarist, I guess he's the lead guitarist and I'm the rhythm guitarist. And then we have a clarinet. So it's an interesting arrangement. And the clarinet player has a big old pedal board and kind of uses it as a bass and as a synth and then as a clarinet. And yeah, so we have a lot of fun. And then we're going to do one of those bus shows. They have the tree line bus that drives around town.
People
to, it's a pretty big space they cover. So you got to go from across town. So we're going to play the tree line bus on Saturday evening.
Oh, that's super cool. I've seen Red Light Challenge do that
before. Yeah.
I'm sure there's been plenty of others that.
Yeah, they have the video where they fell during the bus show.
Yeah.
I saw that too.
Do you normally have a band or is that something that's just when you're playing shows?
Just for shows, really. Yeah, I think the album is really, or the songwriting project is really kind of my own thing, and I collaborate with lots of musicians. So the band members, show up on the album in a few places, and then a lot of other musicians too, which was, really enabled by the Alexa Rose grant. I had a little money so I could kind of bring in people throughout the Boise community and have a lot of really talented musicians play on the record. I think the band has been a really, really fun project. There's great guys I get to work with. And maybe someday we'll take it out on the road and do a little more touring. We're just kind of limited because we have day jobs. So
sure, absolutely. Yeah. So with your performances, are they mostly around here? Or have you performed elsewhere?
Mostly around here. We played in Portland last year, and I went on a little mini tour with my friend Gene Cardenio. We went through kind of Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. Just played a few shows, so that was a lot of fun. And we might do that again this year. I'm working on putting together a tour, probably a solo tour, for the fall. Maybe a solo or a duo tour. Just kind of depends on who can make it out there.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Have you played Treefort before? Will this be your first go around?
This will be, I think, the fifth time.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. We got in 2020 for the first time, and then that got canceled. Mm. So 21, 22, 23. Yeah, this will be five.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's it like playing at a festival like Treefort? Obviously, it's not one of the hugest ones that's around, but it's a citywide festival.
Well, the energy is so good at Treefort. Have you been before?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, it's just people are so happy. It's spring. Mm-hmm. All their friends are out. You're making new friends, seeing old friends. So the energy is just so good about community and about music. So playing shows is really fun. I think sometimes I've been like a little nervous about it, but then the energy in the room is so good that the shows are always great. So I'm really excited about it. I think this is our first year playing an outdoor venue for Treefort. We'll play the Paya outdoor stage. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be fun. We get a little bit bigger crowd at that outdoor stage.
Yeah, I think those outdoor stages get a little bit more traffic maybe because it's easier to kind of come and go, you know. I remember, I think it was last year, there was a venue called Space Banana. It was like in an alley space in between two buildings.
That's right, yeah. They were doing like little raves in there, weren't they?
Yeah, like little DJ sets and stuff like that.
That's fun.
But yeah, so like it's just so cool to see some of the ways that the city transforms all of that. When Treefort's, over and stuff like that, you have other businesses that you do or other creative endeavors that you do with music and audio production and stuff. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I run a little recording studio just up the hill from here, and it's called Mixed Metaphor Studios, and record a bunch of songwriters and bands there. And so that's kind of that's my day job, and working on a lot of projects, working on a lot of kind of country folkish projects right now.
Okay.
And that's been a lot of fun with a couple artists out of McCall and a couple local artists. We're going to have a couple big EPs coming out in the next few months from those artists. And then got to do some really cool, more like indie rock projects. Got to work with this local band called Mercy Giant. They just released a killer new song. What's that song called? Like Room Service, I think. Mm-hmm. But they've been really fun to work with. And the funny thing, I'm working with that band, and the guitarist in that band, his son has a band that I'm also working with.
Oh, wow.
So I'm working with like the 40-year-old guys and the 18, 19-year-old guys. and that band's called Itsy Bitsy, and they are so fun, like the Itsy Bitsy band. So they just put out an EP a couple months ago. And they're going to play Treefort too. I hesitate to promote their show though because it's the exact same time as mine.
Oh no.
They're going to be at Lost Grove Brewing at 4:30 on Thursday, and I'll be across the river at Payette. So we might even be able to hear each other.
Oh.
They're so fun. Kind of like a little like shoegaze, punk. I don't know. It's just so good. So.
So is it mostly local bands then that you're working with at your studio?
Mostly local. And then I have the partnership with Doe Records out of Portland. And so I've worked with a couple artists from there, either from Portland and then another Montana artist. And then I just started working with another kind of country singer out of upstate New York. His name's Darren Buck, and he's going to have a couple songs coming out. So he'll be out here a few times this year to finish up an album. So that's been really fun too.
Do you do the full mastering and all that yourself?
Yeah, I do everything. So do the tracking, mixing, and mastering. It depends. Sometimes if people are gonna like print vinyl or something, then I have them go get another mastering engineer. Mastering is one of those. It's a dark art. It's
sure. No, it's something that I have no idea about. Like audio, I can kind of do a little bit with an equalizer, but some of the stuff that like an actual audio engineer can accomplish is just incredible.
It is. And I think a mastering engineer is the thing that with them is they'll move a thing and you won't hear a difference. And then they'll say, perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, are you sure? So, yeah.
You know, I think about that a lot with, well, uhs and ums and stuff like that.
Okay,
I'm working through an edit and you've got to, well, you don't have to, but I like to remove uhs and pauses to a certain extent, you know, when it can still sound natural. But that's the trick, is getting it to still sound natural. And a lot of times, yeah, my wife will be listening to something as I'm playing it and she's got to hear it 30 times because there's one little thing that nobody else hears that I'm hearing, you know.
Yeah. You start to fixate and it's the only thing you can hear.
Yeah.
There's another reason it was so helpful with this new album to have a team, like have a producer. And I worked with a mix engineer locally, his name is Jared Goodpaster. And we kind of mixed it together. We called it the shoulder mix, where I sat at the desk and he sat over my shoulder. And it's like, maybe you should do that. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. And that was really helpful because of just what you're talking about, where you get lost in a detail, where I would tell him like, I think this thing is really annoying. Like, we got to fix that. He's like, oh, I've never once even heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I lost perspective. So.
Oh, absolutely. It can be really easy to just get that myopia going. And
yeah.
With your music, when you're writing the songs and stuff like that, what's your process like on that? Do you start with the words to a song? Do you start with the music to a song? How does that come about for you?
It changes a lot. This album in particular has a lot of breakup songs. And so those just like, you know, pour it out of me. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way. There's one of them where I had forgotten I wrote the song. When I feel like I'm getting inspired, what I do is I set up my phone and put up a video and just take a video of it. Because then I can remember what my hands were doing. And it's just easier for me to filter that way. So I think I was baking bread. And I sat down with the guitar for a second. I started writing the song and put up the camera, luckily. And within like 3 minutes, I had the full song. But the bread started beeping, like it was done. And in the background of the video, you hear this beep, beep, beep. I was like, I can't, I'm in the spirit of this. I can't go do that right now. So the bread just keeps going for a while. Yeah. And so that some of them are just like that, where they just come out and they're kind of complete. And other ones take ages. There's a song on this album that I wrote probably 2 years ago, had most of the production kind of in place, but had a mumble track, because I didn't know what I wanted to say yet. And so just kind of like mumble along. And I got stuck on it for about a year because I started to like the mumbles and I couldn't think of any words that made sense. So then I had to remove the mumbles and listen to it without anything for a while and get used to just the production again, and then come back and write a bunch of lyrics. And there's a lot of words in that song. So it just took many, many iterations of getting in the zone and trying to figure out, what's this song even about? Like, what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it changes.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm always curious, you know, if people start with like a poem, or if they start with a melody, or just, you know, how it all kind of works out.
Poetry does work for me. I write a lot of poetry. So whenever I'm writing songs, I'll usually print out all of the recent poetry on paper. So I have them in front of me. Mm-hmm. And then while I'm singing, or while I'm working on a song, I'll like kind of flip through and see if anything jumps out at me. And sometimes it does. I'm like, oh yeah, that fits here. That phrasing does, or that topic does, and helps give me inputs to start to be creative.
So is guitar your primary instrument?
Yeah, I write mostly on guitar. I play a lot of keyboards and stuff too, but for songwriting, it's mostly guitar.
Okay.
It's the thing I can take to my porch, and that's where I write my songs, is on the porch.
How long have you been playing guitar?
Oh, basically forever. I think I convinced my mom to let me stop playing in band and stop playing the trumpet, and maybe in eighth grade. But the deal was I had to start something else. So I picked up the bass and then quickly moved from bass to guitar. So basically been playing since then.
Sure. Yeah. I have dabbled in bass, and it's hard to make a bass sound like a song.
Yeah.
Guitar is a lot easier to get something that sounds what you would traditionally think of as a song.
Right. Going. It's just fun to play on your own. And if bassists get good at playing on their own, they're usually not very good at a band because they play too many notes. They're like, they're slapping it and doing all sorts of stuff. You're like,
well, jazz guitar.
If we get like a funk band, that'll work. But
you've got this project with your album. Mm-hmm. It's coming out this summer.
Yeah, trying to set a release date now. So a lot of that's based off of the vinyl and the art and videos and all that stuff. There's so many different moving parts. It reminds me of my old job of like project management, where I'm making a Gantt chart and mapping dependencies. Oh my God. Well, if this can't be done by this, then this can't be done by this. So it's probably going to be, I hope it was like end of July, but most likely it's 1st of September at the earliest.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Well, I mean, those things take time for sure.
Yeah.
So you're getting a vinyl pressed, is that?
I am, yeah.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's something that, I mean, sure, indie artists do it, but like I don't always think of like local indie artists as having vinyls. You know, a CD is kind of low-hanging fruit or
right.
something, but a vinyl, that's a commitment. That seems like an extra step.
Yeah, it is an extra step. It just feels so good. And you actually, if you go down to the Record Exchange, there's a locals section, and there's quite a few local vinyls out there. So
yeah, I just recently picked up one from Magic Sword.
Oh, you got the Magic Sword vinyl. Nice.
It had a comic book inside of it.
No way, that's cool.
It was Endless, I think, was the name of the album.
But
I saw them when they opened for Coheed and Cambria over the summer.
Oh, cool.
And really great music, interesting vibe for their shows and stuff.
It's like a performance art project a bit.
Yeah. But I was excited when I saw that vinyl. I was like, what? That's cool.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, my stepdad was a wedding DJ.
Okay.
And he had like a giant vinyl collection while I was growing up.
Oh, fun.
And, I've always liked records, you know?
And, yeah.
It feels like a neat way to collect the music and stuff. So I'm glad to hear that you've got something like that coming out.
I really like that. I like having the physical object because, then you see it in your house and you remember like, oh, I got that then because of this event or you got that band. And it just kind of, makes your life feel a little like it's like a kind of put into these objects that are around your house, and that feels kind of nice.
Yeah, I haven't actually played it because I'm too scared, but back in the 60s, my dad was in a band, and there was a local little record label where they were, and so I've got an acetate, which was like a single, the cassette of its era,
a
scratch-in record. And it wasn't their song, but like, I guess some of the members of the band played on it for another group to record or something. But yeah, it's having that history, even if, like I said, I am scared to actually.
Cause those don't last very long, right?
Yeah. That's, I don't know the exact condition. I mean, looking at it, it looks fine,
sure.
But yeah, they are basically just like a thinly lacquered disc, and the more times you play it, you degrade it every time you play it.
Right.
And so I've never been willing to do that. But
okay, it's a special occasion song.
Yeah, but it was like kind of the thing that, when you finished your recording session, they would hand you this,
you
could hear yourself play at the end of it.
Right. I sent people a link.
No, it's so much easier now.
It is.
So with your work around here, what's the next thing that you've got going on? So you've got the album coming up, you've got your studio practice. What's coming up?
Oh man, what is next? I don't know. I did two film scores, not last year, I guess it was 2023, and I really enjoyed that. That was my first time, and I would like to get more into that, and I think both of those will be both those films will be released, I think, this year. One of them will be released in May. And so that kind of gives me an opportunity then to reach out to other filmmakers and be like, hey, I made this thing. Because right now it's not even public. So it's harder to share that result. But I'd like to do more of that. I'm sure I'll just keep making more songs. I mean, I've got plenty of songs that didn't make it onto the album that that I would like to release. So probably later this year, I'll release a couple extra singles. And I don't know, hopefully just keep making albums with Boise musicians. And then we'll see what gets inspiring. But I think the next year will be focused on really touring and promoting this album and making videos and all that kind of stuff.
Since we're on the topic of it, I want to go back to the film scores. But since we're on the topic of it, can you just remind what's the name of the album?
And yeah. The album is called Wait, comma, Sky. Well, the comma's not, I mean, the comma's just a comma, but Wait, sure. Sky. But it's important to me that there's a comma there, so I say it out loud. sure. So yeah, Wait, Sky. And yeah, it'll be under my name, so Jesse Blake Rundle. And sometime, I'll have a single out in April, if all goes well.
Are you planning on that being on the normal streaming platforms and all that?
All the normal stuff. And then I'll have the vinyl pre-order going up here soon. I'm also making these hats. There's a song on the album, the first song called Depose. And the chorus is, we depose all kings. So the back of the hat says depose all kings. And the front's this crown that I'm cutting out of this, like, I found this fabric at that the art thrift store above North End Organic. Yeah, found this material and I'm just stitching it onto the hat. Okay. So making hats and selling those at Tree Fort to try to basically raise some money to print the vinyl, because that's expensive.
I bet, yeah. I mean, you've got to have a specialized, I can't imagine there's too many companies that print vinyl.
There's not. I mean, both of the ones I've done before, they came from somewhere in Europe. I think I'm using a UK press. I used a New Orleans press for one, but yeah, it's pretty specialized, like you said. It's
Well, I remember when I was in college, I mean, not that long ago, but it, like 8 years ago, we did a project that was shot on film, and we had to send it to like New York to get it developed and returned to us, because like nobody does it anymore. There's only those specialty things of past processes are going away or becoming really rare to be able to find, I guess. But that's why I'm glad to hear that you're putting stuff out on a vinyl. Or have done it in the past as well.
I think it's fun. I recommend all the artists I work with to make some kind of physical version. Like, just, you want to have the thing. You don't want it to just be on some streaming platform that's owned by some tech bro. You want to feel the thing in your hands, so.
Yeah, I like knowing that I own my media and that I can, you know, somebody's not going to arbitrarily take it away from me one day just because somebody got in a contract agreement.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it could just disappear.
I was wanting to ask you a little bit about the film scores.
Yeah.
And we can wrap up here before too long.
Okay. But yeah, this is your domain, so filmmaking.
But yeah, so when you're working on these film scores, are you working with directors, producers, and like creating the film scores? Are you working from existing material?
Yeah, so the first film I did is called Stockton to Table Rock, and it's a local production company called Lower Gentry. Actually, just last night we shot the commentary for the DVD, which was really fun. We all watched it together and just, you know, shooting the shit about the movie. So,
I saw that at Film Fort last year.
Actually. Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so that was great. And that was, I just met those guys kind of randomly. They were running a like live, sort of like Tiny Desk style video series for local musicians. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to come play. And so I got to know him that way, and I was looking to get into film stuff. So I volunteered on a couple sets for one of the shorts they did, and we became friends, and they're like, hey, we're making a feature. Do you want to score it? I was like, yeah. So I think I ordered a dozen books on Amazon on film scoring and read all those books, and or read some of those books and just try to figure out how to do it. And I had some background in like music theory and composition, but it had been a while. And then it was a really collaborative process. They shot the film in my house mostly. So while we were there, I got to like see the acting happen and use that as inspiration. So I wrote a bunch of little snippets of ideas that were themes kind of inspired by watching the thing take place. And then I worked real close with the director, Brad, and Chuck, one of the producers. And we just kind of sat down in my studio and they're like, hey, we want something moody here. I'm like, all right, and play something kind of moody. They're like, oh, that's cool, but that's too sentimental. Like, okay, here's moody, less sentimental. I'm like, okay, that's better. And then that would help me kind of figure out the vibe they were looking for. And then I'd go off and kind of compose and turn that into more complicated tracks.
How long of a process was that for you?
Oh God, I don't know. It was a lot. It's a lot of work. Brad still buys me dinner any chance he gets as a thank you. it was an all volunteer project for everyone involved. I loved it.
I'd say most any indie films that I've done around here, with the exception of I think one, have been for the love of doing it.
Yeah, you know? That's great. Making art's fun.
And even on that one that did have a budget, I was still an unpaid person, just being there.
Right. Yeah, that's how it goes. The other one I did had a small budget. That was Jodine Revere did her one-woman show called The Persistent Guest, and it was performed at BCT, and then I forget who shot it now, but she basically had a film version done of it. So she and I worked together on the score, kind of similar process. We just sat in my room and plucked out some stuff until we found a vibe that worked for her. And so I don't know when that's coming out. I think she's going to do film festival stuff maybe this year.
Okay. But Boise Contemporary Theater is where I'm going to be at 2 p.m. on Thursday for a Podfort recording.
Oh, no way.
So cool. Lots and lots of stuff happening on Thursday.
All right.
Tell me a little bit again about, or remind people again about what you've got going on.
So Thursday, my band's playing at 5 p.m. at Payette, and then we're going to play The Bus on Saturday from 7:15 to 8:15. And I think that's kind of it.
Have you played the bus before?
No, I've never been on the bus.
Okay. Yeah. I've got to imagine that it's going to be interesting to keep your balance and keep your timing and everything
else. I would think so, yeah. I mean, I'm a little insecure about the bus because I kind of write like sad boy songs. They're kind of intimate and not super loud a lot of the times. You know, they're like quiet and then I yell, then I'm quiet again. That's kind of the mode. So I don't know if that works on a bus or not, but we're going to give it a try.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you got a nice sound, you know? I mean, the songs that I've heard, you know, they've got that tone. I think you can keep people chill enough on a bus,
right,
you know.
Yeah. But make them cry a little bit before the next show. It's great.
Yeah, make them think, make them feel.
Right.
Yeah.
Get them primed for that next pop band at the main stage. So,
is there anything that you want to talk about that I have forgotten to mention or failed to bring up?
I don't think so. We covered a lot of ground. Yeah. Just kind of wanted to chat, so yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining me on this.
Thank you.
Hopefully people are able to attend at the Payette Brewing stage.
5 p.m. Thursday.
5 p.m. on Thursday at Tree Fort. Thank you for joining me here on the Boise Art Scene podcast. Morgan McCullum. You can find more on BoiseArtScene.com, and we'll see you next time.